And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without sin, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. If he died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if in the enemy we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. The King James Version says, by whom we have now received the atonement. But there, that's very obviously a poor choice of words there. Reconciliation is the point. In fact, the American Standard uses reconciliation and the Greek justifies it. There's no question about that. Here's the way I would make a summation of that first part of the fifth chapter. And it's on page 4 in your summation. To the Romans, page 4, chapter 5, 1 to 11. Now here's just in a few words, or at least I've tried to. True believers are not enemies of God, but are freed from guilt by their forgiveness, and are at peace with God. By the way, I want to offer this explanation. Here in this summation, I insert something in parentheses. It is in part in parentheses. It means that I think the idea is expressed in that passage that I'm doing. But it's just sort of parenthetical to the way I'm expressing it here. If I've got it in lowercase, as I have here, it means I'm commenting. You see what I'm doing? Now here I dropped it in the lowercase to indicate, but I don't see anything in this particular section of verses that says his forgiveness, but that I believe in the general context that that's got to be what he's talking about. Now, I thought maybe you might not understand how I tried to work that out. True believers are not enemies of God, but are freed from guilt, that is, by way of forgiveness, and are at peace with God. We rejoice in hope, even in times of tribulation, for we trust in Christ, the manifestation of God's grace. The imperfect man is reconciled to God through the death and resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Now, why did I put resurrected life? Well, because, in first place, I think that's what he's saying. And then, because there are a lot of people that are saying that it's by virtue of the life before he said it, the perfect life he lived. See, Christ later, he had a life, and then he died, and then he lived again. As life, and then he said, same age. Life, death, and life. Now, this presentation doctrine is that it is this life that lives that's imputed to us, and by which we are saved. And they interpret this statement here, here from verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by the fact that he lives a perfect life. They make it that life. I don't think it's that life at all. Now, I'm not trying to discount the importance of the perfect life, but I think it's this life that's under consideration. And one way to see it is, look over there in the 25th verse, where we just left, 4th chapter, 25th. It says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again. That's the life after death. That's this life.
Then he said, one of these days, you can say, maybe on a different person all the day. You will run across them, hey, not a thing you got. You need to take that out of the thing. And if you find out what's happened over and over again, as you keep getting more rich and digging in more, you keep finding things that aren't the better problems that type of thing, and you say, no. They said, let me tell you something. If you live for 100 days, so when you die, you're going to leave things in the kitchen. And that is really important. It really gave me something to tell you about. When you leave things, you're going to die. Right? When you die, you're going to leave some stuff in the kitchen. Right? Somebody else will. And I, right now, I'm not trying to excuse myself because I've done a good bit of work on that. This problem you're talking about, which we call God's fault. But right now, we just think it is. If we got into that, we just know we just first thing. He had a family going deep, and then he got to digging in deep, and he got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and he called. He got in there, I said, well, actually, was it? So you know what he did? He came back. Now, I've got some comments on this.
Let's see if I can do the math here. Well, let me just go down the line. This would probably be the easiest way to do it. Both God is the key to what follows and must be carefully considered. Therefore, showing continued formation. All through one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. I'm using the American standard here. Sin entered into the world. The arrow anticipates the counterpart. The contrast with Christ, which will be made in verse 15. Through its via, as through, where it's translated by, King James, nothing wrong with that translation. But its via, through. Through via, Adam, through Adam, sin entered. So what do you mean by entered? Well, I've got all God introduced into the world. Introducing it. Compare 2 John 7. Now I'll turn to it, please. Compare 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. He confessed not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiving and antichrist. Then he says, look to yourself, that he leaves not those things which he has left. In other words, don't be misled by those deceivers who have entered into the world. Now, it's exactly the same type of language, same thing exactly, and I think the point is not that because Adam sinned, the bad for everybody is sinning, but the sin was introduced by Adam, found as the introduction of sin to the world.
Yes, because he was the first man.
Because he was the first man to sin, yes, in this case.
God didn't feel sin, he was
possible. That's right. Now, here's the comment I make on it. Compare 2 John 7, where the Gnostic deceivers entered into the world. Adam's sin no more made, immediately, the people of the world sinners than the Gnostic made, immediately, early Christians to sanctify. I think that's a valid comparison. They entered in, and they deceived me. Does that mean that those people who were deceived weren't responsible? Well, no, I don't think you could say they weren't responsible. They were very much responsible.
That means they were responsible?
Huh?
They were responsible?
Oh, sure they were. That's right. And that's exactly what he's doing here, I think. I don't think he was completely denying responsibility of the rest of the people. Now, we'll get that more. He says that the Gnostic made, I don't believe Adam sin any more made, that is in immediate sense, the people of the world sinners, than the Gnostic made immediately, or Christians are apostatized. Nor is the universal birth of this day the immediate consequence of Adam's sin.